Right, let's get more reaction to this book. Bobby Sands, Freedom Fighter. The Arts Council have funded it. Some £5,000 of public money has gone into it. This is what you're calling us about this morning. You heard from Tom Elliott today, the Ulster Unionist Party politician. You've heard from Pat Sheehan today, the Sinn Féin politician. Dr. David Hume, commentator. Morning to you, Dr. David.
Morning,
good morning, good morning. And the former Director of Services at the Orange Order, that's you. And Jude Collins is with us today. Good morning to you, Jude.
Good morning to you, Stephen.
What do you make of this, David?
Well, I've just actually finished reading a graphic novel on Burke and Hare and the notorious murders in Edinburgh in the 1820s, Stephen, and it didn't romanticise what Burke and Hare were about and so on. So I haven't seen this book, this graphic novel. I don't know how it deals with all of that, but I think, you know, it's not going to be shared territory, obviously. And I would be concerned that if we start to this path and to romanticise these more modern events, then really we're not going to get a commonality. And what we need in our society is a discussion like you've had with Pat earlier on there about his role in the Troubles and so on, so that we can reach an understanding. Because our society was not a perfect society, but the real question is, was what happened justified? Was it so bad that it justified taking out bombs or shooting people? And I think the danger in a sort of graphic novel is that it's going to appeal to younger people and it's going to romanticise what did happen when it shouldn't be romanticised.
Do you agree, Jade?
I don't think I do. I haven't read the novel, so I can't really say. Excuse me. And I gather neither of any of the people who have spoken this morning. Certainly, Tom Elliott, I found very revealing. He admitted, like myself, that he hadn't read the novel, and yet he was making a judgment on it. He also made it clear that he doesn't know what a graphic novel is, because a graphic novel is not a comic. It's an accepted art form which young people can read, middle-aged people can read, old people can read. The last thing is he doesn't know what art is, because he believes that art should be balanced. And as I think it was Pat Sheehan said, art shouldn't necessarily be balanced at all. Art's job is to be vivid, truthful, and have energy. And, you know, the notion of giving some kind of political balance to a novel is a kiss of death. You're not going to write a good novel if you try to sit down and say, I'm going to be balanced and even in the way I deal with this. I think the one criterion about the funding of this novel is it worthwhile? Does the author, the artist, show signs of promise in the field that they're writing or illustrating in? I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming that to some degree the publisher saw it as having possibility. And I would be totally behind the Arts Council in its efforts to support young writers or artists of any kind. And my own first book was supported by the Arts Council, and I was extremely grateful for that, because if it hadn't, I almost certainly wouldn't have got that book published.
There's
I have a vested interest, you might say. Okay?
Go ahead, David.
Stephen, I was just going to say that, I mean, I understand Gerry Hunt's previous graphic novels. That there's one from, there's a couple from Easter Rising, I think, in 1916, and one in relation to James Largan in 1913. So there's a difference between that historic, there's a nuance which is very important between that historical period and something that's modern and that's quite raw in our society still becoming a graphic novel.
Well, you would have, wouldn't you have political cartoons about events that have happened maybe last week or even the day before? And we don't see those as being offensive. They appear in our newspapers. And in fact, many of our political cartoonists are revered.
Yes, I agree with that, Jude, but I think the aspect about cartoons is that in those newspapers there are lots of other opinions and lots of other information.
Absolutely, but then aren't there other people like yourself or like Tom Elliott or whoever who would have different views, presumably, from the writer of this graphic novel, which, as we all agree, we haven't seen, which kind of makes it a bit daft to be discussing it. The big issues that you are coming out of it are very interesting, and we certainly can discuss those. But the actual novel, if we haven't seen it, it seems rather odd to be saying it's good or it's bad. You know, we can't tell if they would see it.
In terms of the principle, it's what, you know, a lot of unionists will not be terribly happy with the idea of
writing a novel about Bobby Sands. But I think that is absolutely wrong. I would have no objection to anybody writing about any figure from the Troubles on any side. It's a question of how well they do it.
Well, yes, but I think that, I mean, the correlation, there was one correlation drawn there earlier, but if you took, for example, Gusty Spence and had a graphic novel about Gusty Spence, who a lot of people see that period in the early 60s as the precursor to the Troubles, really, from 1966. Well,
that's right, but I don't think you'll find very many nationalists or Republicans who would say that you shouldn't have a graphic novel about Gusty Spence, or would say, but this means it's ruled out. I think
you'd have to test the water on that one, to be honest.
Bobby Sands is a kind of a trigger phrase or a trigger name, and there are certain trigger words in our society. Once they're used, the shutters clang down on one side or the other. And it's unfortunate, but I really think we should struggle against it.
Let's
say what we think at home this morning. Thomas, North Belfast, 030-3080-5555. Go on, Thomas.
Hey there, Stephen. Stephen, I don't think anybody's objecting to books being wrote about like Zelani Murphy and Bobby Sands, etc. The people are commenting because the Arts Council have given money to it. I hate IRA sectarian death squads and an IRA man, but I do have a certain amount of respect for the hunger strikers because they did starve themselves to death for their political ideal, and that, to me, personally, takes a brave man to do that. But the problem is, the Arts Council shouldn't be giving money the LVF or IRA or UFF gunmen and
bombers, they're not.
Et cetera.
Well, they're not.
Well, that's the point.
The point is they're not. They're giving money to a publisher.
I know, but they've got
a novelist.
Publisher who's writing about an IRA killer, gunman and bomber. I mean, they shouldn't be doing it to any paramilitary, whether it's loyalist or Republican. I mean, if somebody's going to write a book about the UFF for, say, Lanny Murphy or something, I'm a Protestant loyalist myself, I don't think that the UVF or UFF or LVF should be getting art funding for writing a book. I mean, if somebody wants to write a book about them, that's quite up to them to do that.
Wouldn't that explain historians then writing about it?
But they're not getting money from the Arts Council, Jude. That's the point. I mean, if they were all writing a book about
Thomas, I think
hold on. Let's hear from Jude. Go on, Jude.
I say you might very well find. I can't say for sure, but I'd be astonished if the Arts Council hadn't supported other than fiction or graphic novels. In terms of writers, I would be amazed.
That's something that we've found out. Have they give money about Lanny Murphy? Have they give money about the Shank of Butchers? And maybe Stephen to find out. Obviously, you and I and Tom haven't read the book. Does it show the bombs that went off that Bobby Sands tried to murder people and the guns that he was caught with that he tried to shoot people with? Has it got that in it?
Let me ask you this. Do you think any book should be written about Bobby Sands?
I think Bobby Sands is an absolute hero within Irish republicanism, and I said at the very start, nobody is saying the books shouldn't be wrote about Lanny Murphy or Bobby Sands.
But they should be subsidised.
What I'm saying is the Art Council shouldn't be giving money to LVF or UFF gunman books.
Well, they're not giving money to LVF gunmen or UVF gunmen.
Books, he says. Hold on. Stop. Important clarification. There is no money going to any men associated with any violence whatsoever.
No, Stephen, I'm
these
not
are
saying
books.
That.
Yes,
I'm
these
saying
are,
the money,
are
the
books you're talking
give
about.
Money to someone who is writing a book about an IRA gunman and bomber. And what I'm saying is, it shouldn't be going to anybody. Even if somebody applies for somebody to write a book about Billy Wright as an LVF,
well, someone's just called us.
Be getting money.
Someone's actually just called us saying they now want a book funded through public money for Billy Wright.
Well, they shouldn't get it, Stephen. That's the point. They shouldn't be giving money to about Lanny Murphy or Bobby Sands or Billy Wright.
Why not?
That's the point I'm saying.
Because the Arts Council shouldn't be
giving money. That's my point of view, Jude. You're saying they should. I'm not saying the books
shouldn't
be written.
You wouldn't be funding the arts at all from the public purse.
Sorry?
You wouldn't be in favour of funding any artistic endeavour from the public purse.
That's not what I'm saying at all, Jude. I mean, you have to listen to what I'm saying.
All right, Jimmy's next. Morning, Jimmy.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I was wanting to speak to Pat there, but I don't think he's on the line anymore. You've just got...
yes, Pat's
Jude
away.
Jude Collins, a great Republican advocate. But listen, Pat was a hunger striker himself. Well, all right? He's now a politician. I always ask myself this question. I can never stop wondering how the likes of Pat Sheehan, Danny Morrison, etc. I mean, it could go on as long as you want. How do they feel now with the fact that they're members of a British Parliament administrating British law, taking a British salary, standing with a begging bowl to a Tory government. My question is, how do they feel now why their comrades were brave men? Anybody that says them hunger strikers weren't brave are in total denial, and I'm a loyalist. They are the bravest of the brave, Stephen. Okay, and I'll say that for the record. But my question is, how do the likes of Pat Sheehan and that feel now while their comrades are filling cemeteries and they're walking around in suits making money, and now they're going to make a book about it and no doubt make more money? How do they feel about when they're dressed in their suits?
Pat Sheehan or any Sinn Féin person is making money out of the book. And presumably they would say that they're getting closer to their political goal of a United Ireland.
But how are they? Because in the Good Friday Agreement, it's enshrined. They're further away from the United Ireland than ever. Further away than ever. It's enshrined. Look at the election in the Republic at the minute and turn around and tell me they're getting closer to the United Ireland. Look what's going on in the Republic of Ireland. They can't fathom the sight of Gerry Adams in the same room as them. So how can you or anybody state to me that they're closer to United Ireland than ever? Explain that, Stephen.
Okay, thank you. Stephen and Dungannon. Morning, Stephen.
Hello, how you doing? My blood is actually boiling here. I had an uncle shot dead because of the acts of Bobby Sands. There's no money coming for a book on his life, what he done. He wouldn't have hurt anybody in this country. And Bobby Sands' name, you know, at the end of the day, they murdered people. And I have absolutely no sympathy for what they've done.
They call it a war, Stephen. They said they were involved in an armed struggle. You hear the language that was used when I was asking Pat Sheehan how he could you know, leave a bomb in a city centre. And, you know, he said he wished none of it had happened, but they were involved in a war. And that's what happened.
He chose to go out and do that. He chose to do that. Nobody told him that he chose to do that. I'm so angry at a comic coming out for Bobby Sands. It's totally and utterly disgusting. So it is. I would only happen in a country like this.
How was your uncle killed? What happened?
He was shot dead. Shot dead on the side of the road like a dog. There's no money coming for a book for him.
Was he in the security forces?
He was, but he's out of it now in a year. But that man, he was honest as the day is long. He wouldn't hurt nobody. And they come down and they shot that man dead in cold blood. Left him on the ground land for his wife to come along, and she was only the first one to find him down the side of the road. It's totally and utterly disgusting. Now, disgusted in this country. You hear my voice. It's not right.
What would you say to the Arts Council this morning, who have given over £5,000 of public money towards the funding of this book?
Well, I said to them, safer to hang their heads in shame. Give that money to some sick child that is dying with cancer and needs an operation or something. But rather than...
Well, that's not what the Arts Council does, Stephen. Arts Council.
I don't care what to do. They just hang their heads in shame. So they should. It's disgusting. Giving money to lacks of people like that. Nobody... They all went out and they chose to murder people, including loyalists. Nobody, they chose to do it. It's not right, so it's not. Totally, I am...
Freedom of expression?
Heard it all before.
Help us understand our past?
Yeah, they want to understand one side of it. All the time, same thing all the time. They want to listen to what happened on their side. They don't care what happened to like my uncle. Where I live, I could take you to 10 houses where people were shot dead. There's no money coming for their life story and how they were murdered. Innocent people out doing a day's work. It's not right. This country is the way to the dogs. Totally. And the government, especially, you know, politicians on my side are doing absolutely nothing for this country, letting the likes of that happen.
What was your uncle's name?
I'm not saying anything about him, because I'm not saying who he was or anything. He's dead over 30-odd years now. Never had a chance to have a family. Never had a chance. He wasn't married that long. Never had a chance to have a family. It's disgusting. Totally, totally disgusting the way this country's going. Everybody wants to hear the sympathies with the IRA, what the IRA done. But what I said, they chose to go out and murder people. They murdered people.
Well, all paramilitaries chose to go out and murder people.
Yes, I agree. Loyalists did the same thing. There's no difference in any of them. But victims have been forgot about in this country. At the time, they were remembered.
Stephen, thank you for calling us today. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Seems to be the case, once again, that there's people out there who just want to read their own history and ignore everyone else's history. The hunger strike has happened. It's history. Read about it. It's good to read. But it, you know, those hunger strikers had been, say, a prisoner of war in Germany.
Listen, do you think it's an impartial appraisal of what happened? I'm looking at the title here. You know, Freedom Fighter isn't put in inverted commas. It's a statement of fact in the title. Bobby Sands, Freedom Fighter. There might be some people, John, if they're wanting to read about history, would maybe should look at a slightly more nuanced view.
Well, you know, Stephen, one man's freedom fighter, another man's politician. That they tell us. You know, if you go to Monaghan Baggin, he was sentenced in his absence to be hanged by the British as soon as they got their hands on him. First time he shook hands with the British was the Queen. So, I mean, that man was a terrorist in his day, according to the British. But the Queen met him getting off the plane. So, it's, you know, as I say, if those men had carried out their act, as Patsy and said 10, which I'm very surprised, it was actually 12 men who died in hunger strike. If they had been in a German prisoner of war camp and carried that out, went on hunger strike and died, they would have got the Victoria Cross, the Congressional Medal of Honour. They would have got every honour that the Allies could have bestowed upon them. Hello?
I'm listening, John.
So, Stephen, you have to take that into consideration. As I say, these men, in my opinion, very, very brave people to do what they did. They fought against someone and they died for people just so that they could get recognition of what they were. They were prisoners of war. Reginald Mulligan declared prisoner. He declared war after what is commonly known as the Bloody Friday. He came on the news that night and told it all. We're not at war with the original IRA. So they were prisoners of war.
Thanks for your call this morning, John. Big, big issue. And clearly what this starts to delve into is how, in what way, can we all share each other's history and the same patch of land that we all have lived in for many years. Even sharing that history, sharing our interpretation of that history, sharing our way of reading our view of the stories that happened over the last few decades. You can hear the outpouring of emotion on both sides this morning.